One of the most famous and fascinating cases I was involved in was the Stiles case. I had been injured during the war, and while I was getting better, I went to stay with an old acquaintance, John Stiles, at Stiles Court. He was 15 years older than I was, about 45, and I had often stayed at his mother's home, Stiles in Essex, when I was a child. I was looking forward to the peace and quiet after all the death and terror I had seen during the fighting.
Mother will be happy to see you, said John. Did you know she married again? Mrs. Cavendish had first married John's father, whose own wife had died, leaving him with two sons. She always treated her stepsons as her own and gave them everything they needed. She was a lively, bossy person and liked to support charities. She was also very rich. In his will, her husband had left her Stiles and most of his own money. She was about 70 years old now. The youngest son, Lawrence, had been ill as a child. He became a doctor, but then said he wanted to be a writer instead, though he wasn't very successful. John became a barrister, but decided to live life as a country gentleman. He married 2 years ago and lived with his wife at Stiles. She worked in the grounds of the house, getting up at every day at 5 o'clock to milk the cows. John could not afford to buy a house of their own because his mother controlled all the money. I don't like her new husband, said John angrily. His name is Alfred Inglethorpe. He has a big black beard and always wears leather boots, even when it's hot. He's making life really difficult, Hastings. He appeared one day, saying he was Evie's second cousin or something, continued John. But nobody believes him. Then all of a sudden, Mother said she and Alfred were going to marry. He's at least 20 years younger than her. He's only after her money. Anyway, now she's known as Mrs. Inglethorpe. Evie, short for Evelyn, was Mrs. Inglethorpe's assistant. John also told me about Cynthia, who was the daughter of one of Mrs. Cavendish's old school friends. She had married a solicitor who lost his money, and Cynthia had become an orphan and was penniless. Mrs. Inglethorpe allowed the girl to live at Stiles. Cynthia had been there for 2 years and worked as a volunteer in the Red Cross Hospital in Tadminster, about 7 miles away. John met me at the station and drove me to Stiles, which was a large old house. When we arrived, Evie Howard was working in the garden. She was about 40 years old, with a tanned face, blue eyes, a deep voice, and a handshake almost like a man's. She had a large, square body, and she spoke in short, sharp sentences. "Weeds keep growing," she said to me after we had said hello. "Enough's been done for today, though. Let's have tea in the back garden." There I met John's wife. I shall never forget my first sight of Mary Cavendish. She was a tall, slim woman, with fire in her hazel eyes, which were very different from any other woman's I had seen. She appeared to have an intense power inside her and a wildness in her spirit. As we started tea, Mrs. Inglethorpe appeared. She was still an attractive woman with white hair and looked to be completely in charge at Stiles. Behind her, a man followed. "Mr. Hastings," she said, shaking my hand, "it is so good to see you again. This is my darling husband, Alfred." Alfred had a huge black beard, a deep voice, and wore gold-rimmed pince-nez. He looked strange, and his appearance did not seem natural. He reminded me how an actor would look. "I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Hastings," he said, sounding like a servant too eager to please. Emily Inglethorpe smiled lovingly at him, as though she worshipped him. But there seemed to be a lot of tense and angry feelings among the others.